You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
First Peter chapter number 2, and that's the theme of the month, is resurrection. It is really so crucial to our faith. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if Christ be not risen, then your faith is in vain. And if he couldn't do that, then he couldn't save us. He couldn't keep us saved. And so the resurrection is very important. And so that's what that song was talking about. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what Easter is about. Not about a bunny. It's a little bit about the Reese's. But it's about Christ rising from the dead, and we're thankful for that. Christ rose several people up from the dead, but he also rose himself, and that's the difference there. And he's the first fruits of them that slept, and we're thankful for that. And if you're a believer, you know what I'm talking about right now. And we'll talk about that a little bit more next week, but I was thinking about this as I went through and tried to figure out what God would have me speak on for this month, And the word resurrection kept coming to mind. But I started thinking, Jesus is able to bring dead things back to life. Not just himself, but even in our lives sometimes. And I think sometimes as Christians, last week we saw that sometimes that prayer life that we should have that was once alive and vibrant, sometimes we let it die. And we looked at last week why sometimes a prayer life could die. But this morning I want to admonish you on the topic of a resurrection of a committed life. And if God gives me liberty, I'd like to preach on commitment. And if I have some time here today, I'd like to talk to you about commitment. And for the next 25 or 35 or an hour and a half that we have here, I want to talk to you about commitment. Now, you may be getting the theme of the message, but look at 1 Peter chapter 2, please, and verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. A very famous book came out years ago entitled, In His Steps. It gave birth to the phrase, what would Jesus do? It's out of that verse right there. Verse 22, talking about Jesus, by the way, in case you did not know the fact that Jesus Christ was and is God, who did no sin. He was the sinless Son of God. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. When we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we have to remember a couple things. We have to remember that he was the only perfect one to ever walk this earth. Well, how was he able to do that? He was God in the flesh. He wasn't created. He wasn't born at the time of, that was his first existence, was when Mary gave birth to him. That wasn't at all. He's the eternal God. He has always been Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's always been and he always will be. There's no change. There's no difference in that. And we have to realize that he was perfect. He was all good, no evil. He was all righteous, no iniquity. He was all holiness with no sin. But of all the attributes that I want to bring out, and I could bring out today about Christ, and we could talk about that for years on end, he told us that he was going to be our example. And I want you to see in one area where I think we need to let Christ be our example. And I maybe have already hinted at it. You may have already picked up on it a moment ago, but the area is commitment. The word commitment means this, and listen to these because they're important here. The word commitment means the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause. I like that word. Let me say that again. The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause. You ever watch the news? I don't really, to be honest with you. I'll read headlines to get to stay up on what's going on, but you'll see a lot of people parading around towns and in different ways, and they've got a cause they're very committed to. And what I find very disheartening is when I see people that don't even have the truth of the Word of God, and yet they're more committed to it than we are that have the truth. You look at our streets and they're saturated with people walking up and down the streets, and they don't even believe that Jesus is God. They ignore most of the Bible. They'll tell you you can be your own God, which the Bible says that He is God, and there is none else. Never will be, never was, and never will be. And folks are, and they're going out and doing more work, and they're more committed a lot of times than we are. And we have a cause, as David said, there is a cause. Commitment also means a willingness to give your time and energy to something you believe in. Your a willingness to give your time and energy to something you believe in. And can I tell you, church, what I think we need at Gethsemane Baptist Church is more people that are committed to the work of God. Committed to the work of God. Can I tell you what your home needs? Is some people in that home that are committed. What our state needs are some people committed to the work of God. What the city of Long Beach needs is, we don't need all these different politicians, we need churches that are committed to the cause of God. There is a cause. Our nation, our world needs Christians that are committed to the cause. I want to talk to you about this thing, a resurrection of a committed life. Father, would you please bless now these next few moments we have in church. It's been a wonderful service. I pray that you'd cap it off now with your word. Speak to us, please, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you ever watch the Olympics, I enjoy watching the Olympics. I tell you, I am never more American than when I watch the Olympics. And what I mean by that is, I don't care what they're doing, I'm rooting for them. All right? I didn't even know some of these sports existed. And when they come on TV, I'm like, go, yes, you know, do that. And, or maybe it's like, no, don't go. Wait, I didn't know the rules right, you know. And they have that little game where they like take that ball on the ice, that little thing, and they just like push it on the ice. That to me is the most boring thing in all the world. But as soon as it starts going, I'm like, America, yes, go, you know. I don't know what it is. I'm super patriotic during that time. But probably should be patriotic all the time, right? But anyway, you know, did you know that when they come into that stadium, and these people who have prepared and planned, and they're going into the Olympics, as they're going in, they recite three sentences. And here's what they recite. I have prepared. I have followed the rules. I will not quit. That's what they say as they're walking in. They say, I have prepared. I have followed the rules. I will not quit. As a preacher, I'm like, that's a three-point outline right there. Goodness, I should have preached that instead, you know. But what we're talking about is we're talking about commitment. Think with me for a second. I'm talking about commitment like the Apostle Paul had. Remember in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul starts listing all the stuff he went through, he's like, oh yeah, I only had three shipwrecks. I haven't had one. Folks, I can't even go on a lake without being scared. This guy had three shipwrecks on the Mediterranean, all right? And he said, yeah, I was beaten a couple times, 40 stripes on my back, you know, except for one, so 39 stripes. A couple times that happened to me, beaten, you know, whipped. And, you know, I did this, and I suffered that, and I went through this. What am I saying? I'm saying Paul was committed. He said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Hey, his commitment lasted his whole life. That's a committed man. I think about commitment like Daniel. Daniel prayed to God three times a day, and the king had made a decree foolishly. He was tricked into it. The decree was, if you pray during this time, you're thrown into a den of lions, and it did not even faze Daniel. He went right back, kept the windows open, didn't do it in secret, said, I don't care. I'm still praying to my God because I have more loyalty to God than I do to man. Opened the windows, prayed three times a day, and you know the story, he was eaten by lions. Wait, no, that's not what happened. He was cast into the lion's den, and God spared his life. That was a man. Why? Because he was a committed man. I think about Ruth in the Bible. Ruth, her mother-in-law Naomi was. She had Ruth had lost her husband. Naomi had lost her husband. Ruth was gonna. Naomi told her daughter-in-law Ruth, "Hey, just get out of here. Just go." And Ruth said, "No, where you go, I'm going. I've committed to you. I'm staying with you." Ruth was a committed woman. I think about the disciples in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, do you remember that these men were beaten? They took them out and they said, "You've been preaching in the name of Jesus, haven't you?" And they said, "Oh yeah, we are not afraid to tell you about that. We have done that." And so they took these men and they beat them. And then they sent them out and said, "Now don't preach in his name again." And the Bible says the disciples walked out rejoicing, saying, "Wow, how lucky are we that we got to get beaten in the name of Jesus. We get one bad text message or we get one post on Facebook about us going to church and we're like, well, I can't post about that anymore." These men were like, "Yes, I got beaten." That's commitment. These men were committed. I think about Noah. Think about Noah for 120 years. 120 years. How many times must he have doubted? How many times must he have thought, "I'm out of my mind. What am I doing?" I know everyone else thought that about him. Maybe he was just committed. He was a committed man. I think about David fighting Goliath and saying, "Is there not a cause?" David was committed, but I want to tell you, Jesus was committed. Here is Jesus Christ staring down death on the cross, knowing full well all that it would entail, knowing the pain, knowing the suffering, knowing that he was the sinless Son of God and was going to take in his own body the sins of the world and have his Father turn his face away from him. He knew that was going to happen. The Bible says that he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem and went and did it anyway. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He looked across, he looked beyond the cross and saw the joy and said, "I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross." Why? Because he was committed to it. Love drove him there. I think some people, you know, they go through so much in life and I don't understand how they could not, how they can go through it without Jesus. Here's the thing, folks. Some of us really need to get committed to God before we get committed to the asylum. Because this world is crazy. And all the stuff we have to face and all the problems that you have to handle and the family issues and the financial issues and the job situation where you thought you had this, but they switched it on you. You thought you had these hours, but they changed it. You thought it was this wage, and then they came through and said no. And then, of course, the government wants like 99% of what you make. And you know, there's this whole thing. And sometimes I'm telling you what, you just need to get back to be committed to God before you go crazy in this world that we live in. Now, the word commitment, we saw the word committed in our text. But the word that we know as commitment is not found in the Bible. But I'll tell you the word, a word that is very close to it, and I want to show you this for a couple minutes, is the word continue. A committed life is a life that continues doing what's right. And can I just for a couple minutes admonish you in a couple areas to be committed to. Would you take your Bibles, please, to John chapter 8. John in chapter number 8. I want to show you two verses here. And I want to give you the first thought of what we ought to be committed to as Christians. And the word here is continue. Jesus tells us here to continue in something. In John chapter number 8, I'd like you to look down at verse number 31, please. John chapter 8, verse number 31. The Bible says in John 8, 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Folks, I want to encourage you today to continue in the word of God. Continue in the word of God. Be committed to the Word of God. Be committed to it. There's no other instruction manual on this planet for how to live life the right way. You can look online and find 15 helps for a better you. You can look on and maybe find, and if anything's true about what they say, then I guarantee you it's based upon a biblical principle. But the only hope you have of making it through life the right way is by being committed to this word right here. Folks, I want to encourage you, be committed to the Word of God. You don't need Newsweek. You don't need Cosmo. Although I read it. No, I'm kidding. You don't need Muscle and Fitness. You don't need the Dow stocks. Those are not necessities. But this book is a necessity. It is a necessity. And we can find every excuse in the book not to read the book. We can find every excuse in our world not to read the book, but we need it. I was listening to an old preacher recently, this old southern preacher from Alabama. You may know Tom Malone. Some of you may know him. He's passed away many years ago. But he was in there. He's got this slow drawl, and he talks, and he gets real high like this, and that's just kind of how his voice sounds. And he said, a young preacher asked me one time, preacher, how long should I read the Bible? How much of the Bible should I read? Pastor for many years in Pontiac, Michigan, one of the biggest churches in America at the time. He said, I told that young preacher, you read the Bible until God speaks to you from the Bible. That's when you know you've read enough of the Bible. I can tell you, folks, I preach at minimum 4 times a week. 4 times a week, I have to have something new from this book for you. 4 times a week at minimum. This last week, I think I was around 8 times. And it happens that I tell you what, I will tell you what never works. If you're in here, you're a teacher, you're trying to help people with the Bible, let me tell you what not to do by experience. Here's what you don't do. You don't open your Bible and say, okay, God, what do these people need? It doesn't work. I have found the heaven was like brass, and God was speaking to me, and I'm sitting here saying, God, give me a message for these people. What do I preach to them? I've got 150 messages this week, you know. What do I even say? What do you want me to? I'll tell you what, he doesn't talk to me that way. He hardly ever says, here's the messages for the week. And, of course, I don't hear the audible voice of God, but the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. But I tell you, and God speaks to me every time is just like this. God, what do I need today? What do I need? What do you want to tell me about myself? And when I read the Bible that way, ooh, yeah, God sure speaks to me. And then he happens to say after that, he'll say, now I want you to take that thought that you're still working on, that you're still not perfect in, and I want you to tell my people about it too. You need to get in the Word for yourself. We read the Bible sometimes and think, man, I want to get a verse for that husband of mine. I want to get a verse for that wife of mine. Where is that verse about submission? Where is it? You know, or whatever it may be. We need to get a verse for ourselves. That's what we need to get a verse for, is what God speaks to me about. Every single day, God has a message for you in that book. Can I say, secondly, continue, not only in the Word, and I won't have you turn to every passage, but I want you to see one more. Colossians, please, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4. In your Bibles, please. Colossians chapter number 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter number 4. Continue in the Word of God. Secondly, the Bible tells us, Jesus told us, hey, continue in my Word, you're my disciples, you'll know the truth will make you free. But now we find the Apostle Paul saying, not only continue in the Word of God, but you need to continue in something else too. In Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 2, the Bible says, continue in, what's that next word? Prayer. Continue in it. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. To continue there means to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to be committed. You think about Elijah, the man of God in the Old Testament, and how Elijah, the Bible says, he prayed, and for 3.5 years it did not rain. Did someone pray in California a couple years ago? Because we didn't have rain for a long time, okay? And so, then we started getting a lot of it. I like to take credit for that. I prayed. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't me, all right? But he prayed, and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. And then the Bible says these great words about this man of God in James chapter 5, verse 18. And he prayed again. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I think we give up way too early on prayer. We treat it like the last resort, as if I can't figure it out, then I'll go to prayer. And oftentimes, if you went to prayer first, you wouldn't have to do any figuring out, because God would help you with that. We think, God, I'm praying, you need to bend your will to me immediately. And then we get mad when he doesn't answer it right away. I think about Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the Bible gives a story about Daniel praying to God for something, and the prayer was delayed because of spiritual warfare. And then it came to Daniel 21 days later, the answer came to Daniel. That's an amazing thought to me. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. John Bunyan, famous author, I believe, of Pilgrim's Progress, said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. Wow. I've told you the story before about George Mueller, of course, a great man who owned an orphanage, and I think it was England, years ago. A man of faith, a man of prayer. Right after George Mueller got saved and trusted Christ, he began praying for five of his friends to get saved. Five of his friends were lost, and he had a burden for them. Within 18 months, one of those friends got saved. In 5 years, another one got saved. 6 more years after that, the third one got saved. The fourth friend was saved before Mueller's death, after his last sermon. And his fifth friend got saved after Mueller's funeral service, after he died. 52 years, George Mueller prayed for five friends to get saved. We pray for something for 2 weeks and we don't get it, we think it's hopeless. And I'm guilty, we're all guilty. I think it's time we get committed to prayer. I think it's time we get committed to the Word of God. Can I say thirdly, I think it's time we get committed and we continue in the church. It's time we get committed to the local church. We're not to attend the universal church. Where does that meet? Online? No. Jesus, God said in the Bible that wherever your local body is assembled together, you be there. We happen to assemble a couple times every week. We happen to assemble at 9 a.m. for Sunday school. The command to be there is just the same as the command to be here at 10 a.m. for church. There's a command, and then we assemble Sunday night at 5 p.m., and we also assemble on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And God says we are to assemble together. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus was faithful in church, the Bible says. As his custom was, he went into the temple. Paul, the same thing. And I'm telling you what, we have got to get committed to this thing of being in church. Being in church. I've never seen in my life more things stealing time away from us on Sundays. You ever notice that everything happens on Sunday? Drive by the baseball diamonds over here on Cherry Avenue and see how full they are today. Drive by the basketball courts at Bolivar and see how filled they are today. Everything happens on Sunday. There's tailgates going on. There's baseball games. There's Little League. I don't think any kid ever ought to ever miss church because of a Little League game. What are we teaching them? Okay, and that's another topic for another time maybe, but we're talking about commitment to church. There's soccer. And we've had kids in our youth department that just have driven me crazy that say, well, I got soccer every Sunday. When does your season end? Oh, it doesn't. How could it not end? Soccer, okay? I'm not going to make fun of soccer. I want to make fun of soccer a little bit. I'm not going to make fun of soccer, okay? But what I'm saying is, where's the commitment? Where's the commitment to church? I think one thing that drives me batty, if you don't know what that word means, it means crazy, okay? For some of you, cray-cray, all right? There you go. I'll speak to you a little bit more there on some of our levels there. One thing that just makes me, and for you from the South, that makes the cheese slide off my cracker, okay? And if you've been in the South, you know that reference there, okay? But I've got a lot of them if you want to know more, all right? But one thing that drives me nuts is looking at our attendance sometimes of church and seeing between one Sunday and the next 80 people that are missing. And I just think, 80? Where'd they go? I mean, was it like, did the rapture happen and we just missed it? 80. I mean, I can understand 20. We've got a good-sized church. I can understand 30. But 80. And I go, and I just, I don't know why, but it drives me crazy. Like, so I'm trying to figure it out. Like, did I say something last week? You know, what happened? Was there a big event in town? And I don't know what it is that makes me crazy about that. And I'm not reprimanding you. I'm just thinking that's insanity. How can we go from have 80 people one week that are not there the next, and then some who weren't there that week, and now they're back this week? I'm telling you, folks, we need to get serious about this thing of the local church. We need to get serious about it. You have people all week long that are too afraid to tell you the truth. But I tell you what happens in church. If this Bible's opened, you're going to hear the truth. And I think we saw earlier that the truth makes you free. There's some freedom there. Let's get committed to the church. If I was as committed as some of our church members, you would hear me preach once a month. Let's be honest. I want to tell you something. I'm committed to this place. I'm committed. I ain't going anywhere. If God moves me, it's going to be kicking and screaming. You know? But I'm committed here. I want to be here. I look forward to church. I look forward to Sunday night church. I look forward. A lot of times we have food after church. I look forward to that too, all right? But I look forward to seeing you. I look forward to greeting you and say, I am committed to church. I believe the local church is supposed to be the hub of the family activities. It shouldn't be, we go to church some Sundays. It should be whatever's going on at church, our family is built around that. Not around the Little League schedule, not around the schedule of some park recreational activity, not around, you know, when some event comes into town and, oh, there's a Broadway play, oh, so-and-so's down here at the Honda Center. No. Our church, our activities of our families should be built around the local church. We wonder why families fall apart, because we need to be committed to church. Boy, I have a lot more, but I don't have time. Committed to the Word of God, committed to prayer, committed to church. I'll just say this, committed to witnessing, continuing to witness. The Bible says in Acts 26:22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing, both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Paul was committed to witnessing. He was committed. Witnessing really does, talking to people about Christ really does take commitment. It really does. Because if you're not committed, you're probably going to give up pretty quickly. It takes one time you knock on the door. I want to invite you to our Easter service this next week. I hate Christians. Get out of here. If you're not committed, you're going to be like, I'm never doing this again. You talk to a friend and you say, hey, can I invite you to church? And if you died today, would you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they say, I hate blah, 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 and I can't stand it. Get out of here with that. I tell you, sometimes if we're not committed, we're never going to try again. It takes commitment. Commitment. You can work on people for years and see no fruit. Stay committed. I had a young man in our youth department for years. I would just say, hey, when are you going to let me tell you about Christ? I'd witnessed to him before, and I said, listen, when are you going to get saved? When are you going to stop trusting in yourself and stop trusting in something else and turn to Jesus and say, save me? What are you going to do? And he'd say, well, I'm just waiting for the right day. I say, the Bible says today is the day. What happens if you die tomorrow? And he said, well, I'm going to wait till my family comes. And look, I will never force someone to make a decision about Christ, because that's not a real decision. We're not going to do that. But I was telling him, look, you just never know. Would you please just think about it and make a decision for Jesus? I remember for a long time, over a year, I would plead with this kid. One day, it was an Easter Sunday, he walked up to me after church. He looked at me, he goes, I'm ready. I'm ready, Brother Reynolds. I said, where are you going? You know, I had no idea what he's talking about, you know. Good, man, I'm glad you're ready. And he's like, it's time. It's time for me. And I started clicking in my head. I said, are you talking about? He's like, yeah. I said, let's go right now. And I got the Bible out, and it was time. And he accepted Christ. I'm glad I didn't try once and just give up. I'm glad I kept at it. Continue witnessing. Can I just say very, very quickly, continue in your marriage. Be committed in your marriage. Goodness. People are walking away from marriage with a drop of a hat, and they're dropping the hat. I mean, we're just seeing the lack of, you made a commitment. You stood up probably in a church or somewhere, and you looked someone in the eyes, and you made a commitment before God, before the government, before the witnesses, before the spouse. You made a commitment. Stick by your word. If you made that vow, continue. And lastly, continue in the faith. The Bible says in Colossians 1:23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. We have got to know this word right here. Too many people are walking away from the faith. And can I just encourage you, keep the faith, my brothers and sisters. Keep the faith. Stay faithful. Let's get committed. Not to the asylum. Some of us deserve to be there, all right? But I tell you, let's get committed to this thing. Let's get committed to church. There's church at 5 p.m. tonight. There's church next Sunday. We have Sunday school. We have Wednesday service. There's Easter next week. Let's get committed beyond that. Let's get committed during the summertime. Let's get committed to the Bible. Let's get committed to prayer. As I look in the Bible, I don't see any of our heroes that were not just sold out and committed to God. How about you today? Do you need a resurrection of commitment in your life? Recommitment. And then maybe today you've heard me talk about Jesus and you've heard me talk about trusting Christ as Savior, and you're sitting there thinking, what's this guy talking about? And maybe today if you were to die, you don't know for sure that you'd go to heaven. Can I tell you, you can know that for sure. It has nothing about you being a good person or a bad person. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could go to heaven and paid for your sins for you. But today, I wonder if we just need to get committed. Our Father, would you help us today to be a people that decide to just be committed to this thing? It's not a Christian weekend. It's not a Christian Sunday. It's supposed to be a Christian life that we live. And may we be committed to this book, to prayer, to witnessing, to church. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around, please. I'd like to ask you a question. A moment ago, I said that if you are here today without Jesus Christ in your heart, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. Hey, we were all in that boat at one time. But maybe you're here to say, Pastor, I'd like to know, and I'd like for you to pray for me that I could know. And you're here to say, Pastor, please pray for me about that. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you slip your hand up? I'd love to pray for you. Anybody at all? Thank you. Anybody else? Love to pray for you. But maybe today the decision for you, Christian, that have been in church for a long time is you know you need to be more committed to this thing. And I would invite you in a moment to come and bend a knee up here by the altar and pray and say, God, I'm committing. I'm committing myself to you. I'm committing to your word. I'm committing to prayer. I'm committed to church, to witnessing, to the faith, to my marriage, whatever it may be. Would you please decide today to become a committed Christian?